Let's begin with a word of prayer. Loving, gracious Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, that as we have assembled ourselves here this evening, Father, that, Lord, Thou wouldst be present, and, Lord, that our minds, Lord, might be focused upon Thee. Father, we pray, Lord, that we would redeem this time, that we might find it important and valuable, Lord, that we would be attentive to Thy word and to what Thy Spirit would speak to us. Lord, that Thou wouldst be blessed and that Thou wouldst be magnified and that Thou wouldst be exalted. And so work in our hearts, dear Heavenly Father, as we meditate now upon Thy word, for we pray this in Jesus' most holy and precious name. Amen. For our reading this evening, let's turn to Psalm 34, Psalm number 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, the Lord, and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. As we live out our days here, we often have many concerns and many questions about the things that are going on round about us that are disturbing, a world that's in chaos and some dark events happening in the world as we see them. And we also have concerns about the future. What will the future hold? What will the future hold for us as in our generation? What will the future hold for the generations that's to come? And these thoughts come about in our minds, but yet we can always find comfort and find solace and find grace and in the Word of God and know that He will direct us and He will guide us, and He is already there. In those times of the future or whatever would transpire, even in our present time, God is already there. He has already all worked it all out. And ours is to have faith and confidence and trust in that God is there and He has it worked out. He had it worked out throughout all history. In the time of Noah, when Noah was building the ark, and when the door needed to be shut, God took care of that. When the animals needed to get on board, God took care of that. And God took care of Noah and his family. God took care of the children of Israel when they were in Egypt. God took care of them. And when they saw that Pharaoh hardened his heart, God was there, and God was working it all out. And he has done that over and over and over throughout the millennia, even until this time. And we know that going forward, God will be there too, and he has it all worked out, and he's already there. And so with that, we can have a faith and a confidence in him, and that as we pray together, that our focus and our faith and our trust and our deliverance, that it would all come from the Lord, and that it wouldn't matter what the opinions or whatever the thoughts are of those round about us in this world. We know that there are those in this world that are orchestrating chaos. They are orchestrating destruction. But God is so far above that. God is so far above them. He mocks at them and he laughs at them because of their small inability to do things. But he is omnipotent and he is a great God. And so we trust in him and we look to him and know that he will deliver and he will provide. We see that deliverance over and over in this psalm specifically, and throughout psalms and throughout the scriptures, that we see the Lord's deliverance and his working in the lives of those who put their faith in the Lord, who have a fear of God, and even in us as well throughout history. In this psalm, there are things that David speaks here, King David, of things that he would do, and then the faithfulness and the providence of God and the promises that we can look to of God. So perhaps we can look at some verses here in the beginning now and look at what is our part and see what it is that we must do, that we might have this confidence that the Lord is with us. And then, and probably more importantly, know that there are the promises of God and of his omnipotence and the things that he can do and the things that he will do and the things that he promises us. And let's take these promises to heart and have faith and trust in him that he will be there for us. So beginning with our part, what is our part in our relationship with the Lord that we might know that we have this relationship, that we're walking with him and that we are in his will? He begins here by saying, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. This is our part. We want to bless the Lord. We want to praise him continuously at all times, that we would have that song in our heart, that we would have that adoration for our Lord, for who he is and for all the things he's done, that would freely flow continuously all the time, at all times, praising him and blessing him because of all the things that he has done. When we take note and observe and take that time to take note and observe, that blessing toward his name and praise toward him comes naturally and comes easily from our lips and from our mouth. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. And this is a desire that we enjoy as a fellowship, that we enjoy magnifying the Lord together and exalting his name together. And so it is that we come into God's house and before that we have a song service, that we bow our heads and offer a prayer to the Lord. And that prayer should be that Lord, would you accept the prayers of this praise from my mouth, because thou art so worthy of it. And then we get to do it together, that we would magnify the Lord together and exalt his name together. It's such a beautiful thing when we, as a larger congregation, lift up our voices together, blend our voices, sing in four-part harmony, and honor and glorify the Lord together because of the great things he has done for us. We want to do these things, and it's a great blessing in our lives. And so again, this is our part. Magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. They looked unto him and they were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. When we look unto him, we know that we don't have to be ashamed, that we can be strengthened, that we can be strong in him and know that we are magnifying the Almighty God, he who can do all things, the omnipotent one that can do far more than what we can even imagine. And we look to him, and that's who we look to. And we are lightened. We are lightened. And our faces are not ashamed when we look to the Lord and bless his name. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Taking part in God's word. Taking part of that, the meat of the word of God into our lives. And we see that the Lord is good. And then blessed are we when we trust in him. Again, this is our part. That we're exalting the Lord. That we're magnifying his name. And that we are looking to him. And that we are trusting in him. Not in any other. Not in any other. Everything round about us, all the establishments that we are familiar with in our lives, they all crumble. They all come to naught, but not the Lord. Not the Lord. And we can trust in him. Governments come and go. Economies come and go. All things come and go, but the Lord doesn't. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes, and it is in him that we can trust. And that is a great blessing in our lives, that we can trust in him and know that he will provide and he will deliver because he is good. Then it continues on for our part is, O fear the Lord, ye his saints. There is no want to those that fear him. We're not lacking anything when we fear the Lord. And so he's saying, fear the Lord, all ye his saints. And then he says, come ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. So we are exhorted to do our part, is to fear the Lord. And now he's going to give us instruction. What is it that brings us to this point where we fear the Lord? Keep thy tongue from evil. This is fearing the Lord. Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. That should have no part in our lives, that evil would come forth from our mouths. That our lips would speak guile, that we would try to deceive and make something be portrayed as it is not. That is wrong in God's sight, and he tells us not to do those things, that we might be walking in the fear of the Lord. James chapter 3 speaks of this very clearly, that with our mouth we ought to praise the Lord, exalt his name, and that should be coming from our lips continuously at all times. And then he said, but here in James he says, therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. We are all made in the image of God. And God loves each and every one of us, so much so that he sent his son to die for each and every one of us. And are we going to curse that man who God has loved and sent his son to die for? Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. If a man would curse another man, he's not walking in the fear of the Lord. And so we were being taught to walk in the fear of the Lord. In Proverbs, we read of six things that God hates, yea, seven are abomination unto him. And one of those things is, he that soweth discord among the brethren. And speaking evil one of another would be sowing discord among the brethren. And so we are being encouraged yet again, keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. That should not be a part of a believer's life. Depart from evil. This is the fear of the Lord. Depart from evil and do good. Turn away from evil. Turn away from those things which the devil rejoices in. Depart from that and do good. Do that which is good. Seek peace and pursue it. Just like a predator pursues his prey, that we ought to be pursuing peace. That's what we ought to be seeking for with everything. That we would seek peace and pursue it. This is the fear of the Lord. And he's saying, come ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil, do good, seek peace, and pursue it. This is our part. This is our part that we might know that we are walking with the Lord and that he will be with us and that he will deliver us. This is our part. Now let's look at this psalm in regards to God's part and what he will do. His faithful promises that are written here that we can embrace, that we can have faith in, that we can lay up our confidence in, and knowing that he will never fail, never fail. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all of my fears. He hears us. God hears us. When we walk in this way that's well-pleasing unto him, when we're pursuing peace, when we're departing from evil, when we're exalting the Lord with all of, at all times from our mouth and magnifying him and looking to him, then what he does is he hears us. He hears us. God Almighty, he who sits on the throne, he who created all things, he who knows all things, he's hearing us. He's hearing us. And he's delivering us from all of our fears. God did not give us a spirit of fear, but one of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's what God gave unto us. And he's delivering us from our fears. And he delivers us from so much as we read here in this psalm. He's continuously delivering us from fears and from evil and keeping us in him, keeping us in him. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him again, the Lord hearing, and he saves him out of all of his troubles. The Lord is listening to our pleas. The Lord hears us when we cry to him, when we pray to him audibly, inaudibly, when we come to him with a sincere heart, knowing that we are coming before the Almighty God and we're coming before him reverently. He hears us. He hears us. As unfathomable as that seems, God Almighty hears us. And just as he delivers us from all of our fears, he also saves us from all of our troubles. This the Lord does for us. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. God provides when we trust in him. And when we look to him, they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing, because the Lord is providing for us and for us at all times. And so he says, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. This is the Lord in his attentiveness to us. He's looking at us. God Almighty is looking at us. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears, both ears, are open unto their cry. This is God's part. This is what God is doing for us. This is the goodness of the Lord being revealed to us, that his eyes are looking upon us, and his ears are open unto our cry as we come to him in our cries. It says, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The Lord is attentive to the righteous. He's looking at them. He's hearing them. And he's providing for their needs. He's delivering them out of their fears. He's saving them from their troubles. The Lord is attentive to the righteous. But it says that his face is against them that do evil. Again, that's a fearful thing to think that God Almighty is his face is against them that do evil. Shall we fear men? Men who can make the body suffer for a little while and then perhaps kill the body? Shall we fear men? Or shall we fear God, who can cast both body and soul into hell? When we trust in the Lord, when our confidence is fully placed on him, then it doesn't matter what happens in our lives and the things that men may do unto us. because we know that our Lord is with us and that he has a home in heaven above waiting for us, a mansion prepared for us. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. This is what God wants, and we see that throughout scriptures, and Isaiah speaks of this as well. God is nigh. He comes, he draws near. He draws near, and he is with one who has a broken heart. That's who God is with. God will not be with one who is proud. God will not be with one who just simply always just wants to do things his own way. God will not be with such a one. But God is nigh. He is near to those who are of a broken heart, and he saves such as be of a contrite spirit, having contrition, being sorry for any ways that we have done that would grieve the Father's heart. He saves us when we come to him. So these are the promises of God, and this is what he's promising to us. And we are to embrace these promises and rejoice in these things. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Out of them all. The Lord is with us. He will deliver. The strong arm of the Lord will deliver, and he will be with us. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none that trust in him shall be desolate. As we serve the Lord, as we yield ourselves to his voice and allow him to move us and allow him to direct our paths and allow us to be a blessing unto others, to serve others, to be that servant, he redeems us. He redeems us. And we rejoice in that redemption that he gives unto us. And then he says, and none that trust in him shall be desolate. When we think of that emptiness, the desolation, there's emptiness and it's a dreariness. And there's nothing there. And he spares us from that. But they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. They shall be desolate. And so it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God if we are not ready. Peter in his epistle says, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. God will deliver. And he delivers us when we are righteous, when we have that continuous exalting and magnifying of his name from our lips and from our mouth. And when we're walking in that fear and we're trusting in him and in him alone, we're looking to him, looking to the Lord for help, not for anything else, looking to the Lord to help us, then we can have this confidence that the Lord will deliver us out of temptations, but he reserves the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. The New Testament also speaks of his comfort that he provides and the deliverance. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, he says, who delivered us, the Lord, delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. And so we see here through this verse alone that he delivered us from such a great death. That means in the past. He delivered us in the past from so great a death. And he's delivering us today in the present. And we have trust that he will deliver us yet again in the future. So past, present, and future, the Lord is delivering us. And we have to have confidence in him and embrace his promises and know that his promises are true. God will not forsake us. God will not leave us. He loves us. And he loves us greatly. In Isaiah, we read that the Lord says, a mother may forget her sucking child. She might do that. Even the one that came from her womb, she might forget her sucking child. But I won't forget you. He says, I have engraven you on the palm of my hand. I'm not going to forget you. This is a promise from the Lord. And we embrace his promises. And we are thankful for his promises. And we rejoice in his promises. And we exalt his name for his promises. Because he is so good. And then let's recognize that when God has been faithful, that we would acknowledge that and that we would have a remembrance of that, that God has been faithful. There's a time in the children of Israel that where Samuel was telling the children of Israel, turn away from your idolatry, put away Ashtaroth, put it away. And then the Philistines were coming up against the Israelites, and then the children of Israel turned to Samuel and say, "We'll put away Ashtaroth. We'll put away our idols. Just cry unto the Lord that we might be delivered." And so Samuel did. Samuel cried unto the Lord, just as we read in this psalm, that those that cry unto the Lord will be delivered. And Samuel cried out unto the Lord, and it thundered. And the Lord discomfited the Philistines, and they lost the battle. The Philistines lost the battle because the children of Israel turned to the Lord. They turned to the Lord and put away idolatry from out of their lives. And then, after that battle, Samuel took a stone and placed it there, and he called that place Ebenezer, and made it to be a point of remembrance that the Lord had helped them. And so the Lord will help us, and the Lord will deliver us. And we see that happen in our lives, and we need to acknowledge it and have that moment of remembrance and have that time of remembrance and have that thing of remembrance that the Lord has helped me and the Lord was with me. And the Lord bless me. Many beautiful verses here in Psalms. I'd like to just conclude with Psalm 37, the last two verses here, where it says, "But the salvation of the righteous, the salvation of those that exalt the Lord, trust in him, look to him, and fear him, the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. It's not of any other source, it's of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble." When we have those perplexities and that chaos that we're living in this world, in that time of trouble, we can know that our salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord will help him and deliver them. He will deliver them from the wicked and save them. Why will the Lord do that? The psalmist says, because they trust in him. Because they trust in him. We have an almighty God who can do all things. Let's not be disturbed over much about what men might be doing in this world, in the chaos and the destruction of the things that are going on around about us. We're trusting in an almighty God. We're trusting in an almighty God, one who can do all things, one who could take those plans that these men are making and completely spin them out of control. We serve an almighty God who can do all things, and we trust in him. And he gives unto us his promises, his faithfulness, and he gives us salvation. Amen.